Hi everyone, my name is Adam Small.
And I'm Jake Moses.
Welcome to our podcast, The Performer's Pathway.
A podcast adventure to help guide and navigate your musical life and career.
As a prelude to every episode, we'd like to remind our listeners that this podcast is about the other side of the musical coin. One side, which you see a lot on our website, mymusicmasterclass.com, is what to do in the practice room. The other side is how to maximize your talent and skills in the real world, and that's what this podcast is about. Also, if you have a few extra seconds to spare,
which is technically only 3 beats at 60 BPM,
please subscribe to our show at your podcast app of choice and rate us 5 stars. You can leave a comment about absolutely anything as well. This small act of kindness will really help us expand our audience and continue to create new episodes.
And lastly, word of mouth is always super helpful. So if you like what you hear, please tell the world.
Before we get started here, though, I want to tell you about our new monthly guidebook slash workbook called The Motivated Musician. It's geared towards serious musicians, and it offers challenges, exercises, professional advice, and more to help keep your career and your musical life on track. Also, as an extra perk, members get exclusive discounts from MyMusicMasterclass.com. So if you want to learn more, go to MyMusicMasterclass.com and you'll see the subscribe link in the menu. Click that and you'll be good to go.
That being said, let's trek further down the path of
Just Say No. All right, so for those of you who've tuned into this podcast in hopes that we're going to be talking a lot about the Just Say No campaign from the 80s, basically coined by Nancy Reagan or, you know, her staff, you're going to be very unhappy. But you might be happy if you didn't expect that and you were hoping we were going to talk about something else. I don't know, Jake, what do you think about the failed war on drugs?
I was just watching a documentary on that. They're like, is it better to just legalize everything because so many people lose their lives and we lose so much money fighting drugs and it's just never worked? but this can work. Absolutely. This is a totally different thing.
Yeah, we're going to talk about something different. We're not going to do the whole, this is your brain on drugs and just fry an egg. Yeah. This is going to be about when to say no to gigs. And this is an important thing. I was recently talking to Jake, which I do from time to time when I'm forced to. Not at all.
Or I just attack him on Facebook and make him solve all my problems.
So anyway, Jake and I were rapping and, you know, he does a lot of favors for people because he's a really nice guy. He's a yes man.
Well, that's the thing with like gigs are like we have skill set and all this stuff, right? So that can be used in so many different ways. That's the thing about using the word gigs. It's not always gigs. It can be something super easy that someone just thinks you can just do and you'll just say yeah, I'll do that, that's fine, but then you realize like, oh yeah, this takes a lot longer than I thought.
Right.
So I mean, it's that type of stuff. When you have a skill set, you can't expect people to know what that is,
and that's almost another podcast, right? Just talking about getting as many details as you can before you jump into something.
Everything,
because
all of it.
I mean, if you hire a contractor to do your house, they're going to go through everything they're going to do. If you come at them saying, well, you know, I thought that this light switch was included, you know, but no, that's extra, you know, I mean, they go through it, they break it down.
And it'll take them 5 weeks to install it.
Exactly. But musicians don't always do that, but that's, you know, that's another podcast. For now, let's stay on subject here and let's see how saying no can actually help your career. So I actually wrote a blog about this subject a while back for my music masterclass because it's one of these subjects that's really, really important for all musicians. And a lot of people struggle with this. I wrote this article, I think it was called Saying No Can Help Your Career. I also introduced this subject in a recent issue of The Motivated Musician, which you probably just heard about if you heard the intro. That's our new workbook and guidebook. Essentially, when you first start gigging or you start pursuing music on a professional level, you're probably saying yes to everything, right, Jake? I mean, you want to do as much as you can and you want to get out there.
Well, I mean, there's a big difference between any freelance world. You know, if you get a 9-to-5, they hired you, you show up, you do what they tell you and that's it. Like there's no, there's not much like personal anything inside of that. But when you're just out there for hire, some people like me, like I have to know I can do something perfect before I'll ever make someone give me money for it. So for a character,
unfortunately,
like that,
not everyone's like that.
Not everyone's like that, but like it's, if you have a little bit of that, sometimes what you'll do is you'll just say yes to everything just so you can prove to yourself that you can do it. So those nerves go down. So you'll get underpaid sometimes, or you'll do free stuff because you just want the experience. That stuff's great in the beginning.
Yeah,
that's fine.
And even, and you know, Asaf Rode, who is on our website and also did a podcast with us, you should check that one out. It's really, really cool. He's got some great insights. He's the musical director for Lil Nas X, and he's done so much stuff. But one of the things he said was when he first moved to LA, he took everything, you know. I mean, you know, within reason, if it's something that's literally against your religion or your, you just can't stomach it or it's freaking you out, then don't do it. But in general, you want to meet as many people as you can. And sometimes if a gig is just quote unquote corny or something like that, there could be another really great player on the gig that you meet that is going to hook you up. I mean, even at auditions for things I didn't even really want to get when I was in Los Angeles, I met musicians at the audition waiting to play. And regardless, my point is that in the beginning, you surely do want to do a lot of things, right?
Yeah, you want to be a yes man. But you have to do it in a way where that doesn't typecast your character. So you don't want people to start looking at you like he'll just do anything. He's like the favorite guy, whatever. That's where it gets tricky.
Right. So,
you know, learn what you can and build confidence. And then you are a business. And that's how you need to work after that.
Right. So let's get to this. Let's jump to the part where you start working a fair amount. Okay. So let's say you said yes to a lot of things. You were doing a lot of different things. You've acquired a lot of friends, right? You now have a lot of friends that are musicians probably, because as we talk about in a lot of these podcasts, music and friendship is kind of hand in hand, right? Meaning that you get gigs from your friends. You got to be likable. You have to make friends. And that is the way that you get better gigs in the scene, because no one wants to hang out with an asshole. That being said, when you start getting very busy and you also want to get better gigs, you have to start cutting the fat because you're not going to have enough hours in the day.
No.
When you're younger, you're going to have more hours. Probably. I mean, I don't know your exact schedule, but in my world, I had more hours. I wasn't married. I didn't have a child. Whatever. Just those two things. I mean, that's huge. There's a lot of time that I do not have now, right? But if you're in a situation and you don't have these responsibilities, you're still not going to have all the time in the world, or you're just going to get burnt out. There's going to be a certain point where you have people calling you for work that you might not enjoy that much anymore, but they're good friends of yours, and you're getting called for things at the last minute that you might really enjoy doing, or it might benefit your career, and you're not able to do them because you don't want to cancel a gig with your friend, or you promise to do 40 hours of, you know, whatever, web work, or it could be anything, any favor. It doesn't necessarily have to be music, right? I mean, but when it comes down to it, if you're losing opportunities to do things that might not be paying really well, but they might be a shoe-in or into the right door, you have to figure out how to say no.
Well, that's kind of like, you know, the old ancient three things tradition of artists is, you know, you want two out of three. Do you love the music? Are the people involved like so awesome that whatever, you just want to go spend time with them? And what's the money like? But I kind of add like a fourth thing. If it's something that is going to provide something that you can learn that you don't know yet, and it's not pressure, then you could kind of get in there and get in that type of situation and fall on your ass, and it won't be a big deal, but you'll learn a ton of stuff, you know? So stuff like that too, you kind of want to keep track of.
Yeah. And these kind of things, they happen in all different styles, all different kind of, I don't know, scenes. I mean, for instance, let me just break down a few things that I wrote in this blog because they're kind of interesting. So for instance, I wrote three examples of kind of musical friendships that could be your situation, right? So let's just kind of go through these. John Doe was the first guy that ever hired you for a paying gig, and he's been your mentor for years, and you're still playing tip jar gigs with him once a week at a local bar. The problem is that each gig requires three rehearsals due to the rotating band members, and because of the pay, you know, he can't get a steady band, and he's consistently adding new material, which takes time to learn. Although you only make $35 on each of these gigs, which are 4 hours each, you have to attend three rehearsals, blah, blah, blah. Let's just skip to the next one. Example two, you're playing with a band that's seemingly on the verge of making it, in quotes, right? Oh, but yeah. It doesn't really pay any money. This happens to a lot of people. You know, the band's asking for a serious commitment, you know, including multiple rehearsals and all that stuff.
Which, let me just add, like, if you do want a chance in that world, you do have to do that. Like,
right.
If you want to take a shot at that, that's a whole other thing.
Right.
Get a full-time job and put all your work into that band.
No, you're right. But that's a different thing. So exactly. I'm not even going to read all these examples. I'm just giving you some ideas here. Example three. When you first started producing tracks in your bedroom, you helped out your friend John Doe with his music. It was a good experience for you at the time. It was great to hang and be creative with your friend. But the production process took about 100 hours and you weren't paid because, you know, John, your friend, is a dreamer and he never has any money. So let's fast forward a year later. Fucking you actually start John. Getting you start getting paid production work. You have a girlfriend, higher rent, a needy cat, whatever. And time is precious and you're struggling to balance your personal life with your work, right?
A needy girlfriend and a rented cat.
All these situations are different, right? Showing you what it could be, but they all have the same vibe, which is that you grew and the situations did not. Okay. So that means that, you know, you kind of surpass the situation, but you have to be able to say no. And this is where it gets tricky because you don't want to end a friendship, right, Jake? Like, you know, sometimes you have really good friendships and also you don't want to burn bridges because it's oftentimes not this cut and dry where like someone is not going to do anything. Like, what if they do? You know, I play with singer songwriters that I had to stop playing with, and you have to make that call sometimes because yeah, they could still blow up. You never know, but
yeah, you have to make like, your own fuck call. You, you're terrible. I'm out. Exactly. Don't ever call me again.
Yeah. So how do you deal with these situations? Right. It's tricky. And let's talk about that. Basically, if you decide to leave something, you have to use your gut, right? And just say, I'm ready to leave. And you can't look back and say, oh, shit, I shouldn't have left, or you should never think about what if. You just have to make a strong decision, say that, and do it with logic and your heart, and say that no matter what, I just have to do what I'm going to do, and this is what I'm doing. And if that band or person ends up blowing up, don't beat yourself up. I know it's easier said than done, but I've really done this, and I've left a lot of situations in my life because I had to, and some of the people did pretty well, but nothing that I cared about because I moved on and I did fine too. So, you know, everyone has their path. You have to make a strong decision and don't beat yourself up if they end up being, you know, Rick well, James. Yeah.
But you should also, like, you know, have stuff that you're pursuing. So it's like,
hey, yes, man,
I'm like busy doing other stuff. I'm trying to get other stuff done. Like, we've done our thing and it's been great, but it's kind of like when you know, when you break up in a relationship, it's like, you want to see other people. Like, time is time. You cannot get that back. So
no,
even if it's just writing your own stuff, if that is more, that's mostly going to be more useful for you anyway, instead of just playing with artists that are really never going to go anywhere. If you're not like in love with the music,
yeah,
then really, why are you doing it? You know,
yeah, and that's what, that's to, exactly
to
the point.
To be nice, you know,
or because you think it's going to help your career. I mean, again, if it's not going anywhere, and if you're not really into it,
Yeah.
On the flip side, if you're really into something and it's not paying, it's a harder decision because, you know, you really love the music and you believe in it personally. So it's you have to do what your heart tells you. It's tough, right? So some things that can happen if you start saying no to a particular gig.
Oh, man, they'll guilt you.
Guilt trips, right. Yeah. Let's start with guilt trips.
They'll buy you a guilt guitar. They'll erase the D and put a T. They'll be like, here, I got this for you. It says guilt on it. Fuck you, man. I'm not coming back.
It's a guilt L5.
It's a guilt L5.
All right, that's nerdy as hell. It's tough to get guilted. And, you know, you have to stick to your guns. And there's different ways of dealing with these situations. I find that if you go into a situation like this and you say that you can't do something anymore, like a gig with a friend, you're not able to do these weekly gigs or whatever the case is. If you cite the fact, if you start the conversation with, look, you know, rent's been hard. You know, I really need to do this, or I really just need to make more money. I don't have another job. This is all I got to do. And you come from that angle and you're really honest. You say, I just really need to get my shit together. I really need just to make more money playing. And it's not doing it. It's not personal. I love you. I want to, you know, I'll always be there for you. But when it comes down to it, this is life and survival and I have to do it. If you come with that angle, I always found that if that person doesn't understand it, they're being selfish.
Yeah. I mean, I always make sure when someone wants to be a professional musician, I'm just like, you realize you could just get a full-time job and play music at night, right? And they're, you know, sometimes they're like, they didn't even think of that. So if that's not enough for you, then like you have to make these decisions if you want that to actually be your career, because you can't just do shit for free. Like you wouldn't go to a 9-to-5 job and not get paid for it. You know what I mean?
And to be honest, when I've come at people with that sentiment, with the way of saying it that I just said to you, all the people that were actually my friends didn't give me any shit for it. You know, they said, I totally get it. And, you know, and congratulations. Or, you know, I mean, I'm hoping for you or whatever. I mean, it's the real, you see who your friends are by the reaction you get from that. If someone keeps guilting you after you tell them that you need to make ends meet, then they can go fuck themselves.
Yeah. Plus, that shouldn't be the only thing that you do as friends.
No, exactly.
If that's the only thing you do as a friend, then you're a hired gun for an artist.
Yeah. Maybe you're not a friend. Like, exactly. Yeah. Have you gone bike riding in the mountains? Yeah, have you?
All that shit.
Yeah. Do you play Risk?
Yeah. Like it shouldn't even matter. It should be like, oh, that sucks. Whatever. Let's go get drunk and try to get girls.
I mean, I understand that you're going to worry about ending a friendship and it sucks. And some people are very sensitive and things can get weird, but this is a decision you have to make for your career sometimes.
And sometimes it will happen. The friendship will end.
I know. Sometimes it will. It's literally like breaking up with, you know, a partner, right? Yeah. You break up and you really love that person. And you love to be friends with them, but, you know, it's too weird to be friends sometimes.
Yeah.
Also, a lot of people are scared of getting a bad reputation. Like if they were to leave a situation that people would talk shit about them or whatever the case would be. Again, you can't really worry about that. You have to do you. And at the end of the day, I'm just going to stick to this. You got to pay your rent. You got to pay your mortgage. You got to pay your car payments, whatever, buy food. I mean, it doesn't have to be anything big.
You're being more of a professional. It's one thing if you just like showed up at the gig sloppy all the time and never knew any of the songs. They were just like, you know what, bro? This shit ain't worth my time, dude. Like, I'm done. Then they'd be like, yeah, my friend was never even good at the gig. And then he told me it was too much and didn't want to do it, didn't interest him. Like, that's different. You could talk shit about that person because that person sucks. Yeah. But if you're doing everything professionally and you come at it from a professional level, like they can't talk shit about you. You did
and
everything
if they
right.
do, no one will care.
Yeah. So now it's like the good stuff. Now it's like, now you made room for new stuff to come.
Right.
Which is awesome because even if you think about it, the most long-term thing ever, say you cut all this fat out, right? And then you start getting these amazing gigs because you put more time into it and like you search this stuff down. Then all of a sudden you're getting gigs that pay way better. And say you're on the road, you're doing all this awesome stuff. You're doing studio gigs and like you're getting paid for one gig more than you would have made in like 8 gigs, then guess what? Mm-hmm. You can be like, hey, dude, want to play at the bar like next Saturday? I want to blow off steam, rip some guitar solos. Like,
totally.
Then you get to bring it all back. Like, yeah, don't forget, this is your goal, is you want to mm-hmm. enjoy life and you want to play music. So you can come back to this stuff. You just got to get to a certain point where it's not what you're relying on to pay rent. Mm-hmm.
And this goes beyond just saying no to lame gigs or something like that. I mean, we just had Jimmy Haslip on the podcast.
Speaking of lame gigs, we get Jimmy Haslip.
Yeah, exactly. He has not. He's never had one. I mean, or I don't know, maybe when he was 12. But he told us that he was touring with the Yellow Jackets 4 months out of the year, right?
Yeah.
And then 5 months was other stuff.
Yeah.
But when he quit the Yellow Jackets, he wanted to do something else for that 4 months that was just different, you know, go down different avenues. It didn't have to do with the fact that that gig sucked. It was great, you know, it was all his friends and they're amazing. But he was at that point in his life where he wanted to do different things and he had no time to do it. He was on the road 9 months a year. So it gave him 4 months to do other stuff. So sometimes you just have to make tough decisions to see what's best for you, and it doesn't have to always be what's best for your pocket, right? Sometimes it's just what's best for your mind, you know?
Yeah.
Continuing with this kind of concept, remember, your time is precious. So even if you're not leaving a situation for another situation, you might just need time to do homework. For instance, you want to learn how to use Pro Tools or produce music. It's not like you're leaving a job for another job, but if you don't have time to improve yourself and learn new skills, and again, you have to get time. You should always have time to reinvent yourself and get better. If you don't have that in your schedule, you just have to start saying no to things that are taking up a lot of your time.
First and foremost, if you're out and you're playing with artists and you consider yourself a hired gun or a session player, here's one huge thing you never want to do. Don't ever rely for artists to be your career. So taking time for yourself, there's so many things you could do. One of the most important things to do, and you can learn studio stuff and all this in between, right, is become your own artist, number one. Like, I remember Yoed Nir talking about that. He's a cellist. That's how he started getting gigs. He would just create and put videos on YouTube, and then bam, all of a sudden he's playing at Joni Mitchell. So it's like, be your own artist, number one, because as you get older, you're kind of going to get sick of playing other people's music. You're going to be like, man, I want to say something. I want to create something. You'll already be on the path to be able to do that. You don't want to start right when you're in your 30s, because that's very hard. That being said, another thing to do early on, when you're a yes man and taking any gigs, get your work ethic down. So say they send you an email with 12 tunes. Like, you want to get so good at charting out tunes, create your own shorthand, however you like to look at charts. I myself, as far as the popular world, like pop music, all that stuff, if I can't fit everything on one sheet, then I'm charting it wrong. You know, do whatever you need to do in that sense. Like, get good at your system for learning songs, memorizing them. That way, like, the busier you get, you're already fast at doing that stuff, so it doesn't take up much time because you're not getting paid for that time. That's the unspoken thing of being a session player, is you're not getting paid to, like, learn the music. You're getting paid to know the music and show up at rehearsal, hopefully, but you're not learning the song at rehearsal. If you're doing that, you're not doing it right. So, right, like, get that efficiency down in the early days. So that's going to help you a lot. So this is all stuff like you need to be good at mm-hmm. yourself, and you're not going to get
like
paid
memorizing
for it.
Music, yeah, and
all of it. That's
learning how
unpaid
to chart music on a plane.
Oh, dude, yeah. So many drummer friends of mine do that. I'm like, are you insane? They're like, yeah, you know, I just go on the plane, I'll learn a whole set and just write it down in their headphones.
You have
I'm
to.
Like, look, I've done Mozart? It too. Mozart in a horse carriage?
No, I've done it too, man. I mean, you know, you have to do it. Sometimes you have no time.
Yeah.
And it's important to be able to seize those opportunities. Otherwise, you just flail.
And I will say that comes in huge when you get a sub gig. So if someone needs someone on the fly, and you're going to be their substitute, guess what? You're learning the fucking songs on the plane. And like, if you can do that, most of your gigs, honestly, like, come from being a sub first. And then like 2 years down the road, you'll end up being the main person that they call. Like that happens so much, but you don't get
gig. Word will get around too that that.
All that stuff.
Then all of a sudden you start getting work.
Yeah. So
last minute.
Yeah. Conclusion with that is essentially when you free up time, this is the stuff that you should be getting good at. So when those other calls come in, you're just like, bam, you got the stuff down. And then you're making more money, and then you get to go play with your friends in your free time.
Yeah, man. I mean, also, you know, it could be as simple as you never get to go out and see music in the scene that you want to excel in. And you know what? If you're always playing with your friends at venues that no one goes to, and yet all the bands that you would like to get in with, all the musicians you would like to play all these other venues, guess what? Just freeing yourself up so that you can go out at night in order to hang with these players and maybe get a little session together and play.
They need to know you exist.
It's that simple. I mean, they need to know you exist. That's it. So let's move on to new situations, new opportunities. How do you know or what to say yes to, what to say no to, and how are you judging these things? Let's start with the number one. What do you think number one is?
I mean, I would just look at my bank account.
Yeah, money, right. That's what I was about to say. So number one is money. How much is it paying, right? This is always important if you're a full-time musician, right? And we don't have to say much about this one. Let's go on to number two, time. Time's a good one.
Yeah.
So number two is time. How much of a commitment is it? Are there a lot of rehearsals? Well, you have to spend a lot of time learning the material.
Yep.
How long's the gig? Where is it, right? You might have to drive super far.
Oh, yeah. Figure that out first.
Yeah.
Might be a 2-hour drive. Figure that out first.
Or if you're composing or producing a track, what's the deadline? How long will it take you to complete it? And how many revisions are they able to ask you for?
Yeah.
If they're just able to ask you for a million revisions, again, this can start eating up your time. So whatever your craft is, it could be anything.
I'll actually ask you this question on that.
Yeah, please.
Because this happens a lot in video editing is like, you know, how many versions do you get? And this is very documented in the video editing world. Like you have R2 cuts, you have V2 cuts, all that stuff.
Sure.
So you get, you know, notes from clients. But here's the thing. You have to be confident enough to say you only get a certain amount of, you know, revisions, because if you fuck up and have to fix something, there's a difference. That is not really, to me, a revision. So like saying like basically if you give them what they ask for and then they want to change something and be like, you know what, this image doesn't work or this guitar solo part does anything, if it is actually like a revision, then count that as like part of their number of revisions. But if you like legit just mess something up, if it's like in the thing and you have to redo it,
that's just tell them in communication.
Yeah.
You know, just be like, yo, that's on me.
Yeah.
I will not count that as a revision.
Yeah, exactly. But like do that, like communicate all of that. Yeah. Everything needs to be more clear than you think it does, you know, overact that stuff.
I agree. All right. Now we're going to be on to number three. We're still on this list of how you're judging these new gigs. Exposure, right? This is a big one.
Oh yeah, good old exposure.
Right.
So many.
It's
good
also
memes.
The worst. Yeah, it's the worst buzzword. Hey man, you know the gig isn't paying anything, but dude, a lot of exposure.
Hey man, like, the gig's not gonna it's pay gonna be anything, but I'm gonna try to impress your girlfriend when you bring her to the gig. Like, wait, what?
Yeah.
That's not cool.
I always, you know, I feel like exposure sometimes is, you know, negative 20 degrees Fahrenheit. And you just play a gig in the Arctic North or something like that.
Bring a scarf.
Yeah.
Be a lot of exposure.
Exposure. Really good exposure.
To the elements.
Yeah, to the elements. No, it's not. But this, I'm going to use it in a real useful way instead of what people do to try to get you to do stuff. So when someone says it's a lot of exposure, they're typically telling you that they're not going to pay you a lot for the gig or nothing, but you're going to get a lot of exposure. So you have to judge that situation by using your brain, using logic, using the friends you know this person, or look on YouTube and see if this person actually does have people that like them. If they have a YouTube video that has 5 hits.
It definitely could be good for you. It could actually be exposure.
It might be.
But 99% of the time, it's not.
well, but, you know, exposure might, I think of also who you're meeting sometimes, you know? Yeah, so let's just use that term loosely, not with exposure to an audience, but exposure to other musicians. So if you get called to do a gig with a drummer that you really like, but you've never played with that drummer before, yeah, I mean, that could be a reason to do the gig. I've done plenty of stuff like that, and it's always made me happy. And again, if you hadn't said no to the stuff before, you might not have had the time to take that $50 gig or whatever it is.
That meets you with a drummer that you're playing in a stadium with 3 years later.
Yeah, exactly, with this awesome drummer, and it's a cool artistic gig or whatever. So yeah, that is important. But so these are all factors in deciding. Again, it's like a math equation in your head of if you should do the gig. And it can be an important thing, or it could be complete bullshit, but you have to figure it out.
I do have to stick this in too, because I always like this disclaimer. Treating people like possible future gigs does not make you a vapid, vain, shitty person. And it doesn't cancel out what friendship is. Like, get that through your head, because a lot of people think big cities, everyone's out to use each other and blah, blah, blah. That sometimes is definitely the case, but like, you can definitely not be like that. You can have a friend that's a real friend and that also gets you opportunities, and maybe that was how you met. Like, that's not a big deal. It doesn't make you a shitty person. So, you know, make sure those differences are in your head.
Yeah, I can see that. That's a good one.
Yeah.
All right, so next, let's call this number four. Who's the gig with, right? Or who's it for? These are important. Again, it's kind of like the exposure thing, meaning that you want to meet this person, right? Let's say you know this artist, or you've seen them plenty of times playing with their group, and you're asked to do this sub. And again, it's not a great paying situation, maybe, or let's just say it's not. It doesn't necessarily have to be poor paying, but let's just say it's not a good paying situation. You may want to do the gig just because you think this person's super crazy talented, or it's for an event that is good. You're playing for a group of people of your peers, or it's going to be televised, or whatever the case is. There are certain situations that it could help you out, and you might want to do it. Now, last, this is my last number in the criteria. Let's call it five. So number five is the ultimate. It's fun, okay? So fun is a criteria. That if something's going to be fun, no matter what the situation is, and you're able to do it monetarily, you know, mental health is important, and fun is actually a good thing.
Yeah, just do it.
Just do it. So based on those factors, you want to figure out if you're going to do the gig, and you're going to have to use your heart and your head and add it up. And if none of those elements are in the gig that you're offered, you probably safely can say no to it, right? It makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, you're setting up like a measuring tool for yourself.
Right. And even if some of those elements are in the gig, doesn't mean you have to say yes, right? Even if the gig, sometimes gigs are paying a lot of money. I've had gigs offered to me that are paying a shitload for a wedding or something like that when I was gigging all the time. But I got offered a really, really cool artistic gig with a rhythm section. I mean, or, you know, with some players that were amazing. And I wanted to do that because I thought that was better for my career and also better for my mental health. And I was able to do it financially because I was making money at the time doing, you know, saying no to the right things and saying yes to the right things, so I could pull it off. So it's not always about the best money or the best this, but you have to, you know, you're an adult. You're just going to have to figure it out. Is that too hard? That sounded like a dad thing to say. No, you're an adult.
Makes sense. I mean, just create your measuring tool. Like before, when I said like the two out of three, that's like the old ancient saying of musicians, you know, back in the troubadour days, walking around, you know, is it two out of three? I'll go to France for that. But no, like, you know, you can even list way more stuff. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, make your own list of, it's essentially doing pros and cons, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But if you have something in play like that, then you don't have to sit and stress about it. Be like, what am I going to do? It's just logic. Just check off some stuff. And then you're like, you know what? Nope. Can say no to it.
The other thing that could be an entire podcast by itself is your sanity and your downtime. You know, it's not healthy to work 24 hours a day. That's why Jake is slightly insane. He's been working too much recently. Yeah.
And I drink, you know, laced coffee with mescaline, but that's a whole other thing.
Exactly. No more mescaline.
No,
you
I had
never put greens in your, no, that's not the same kind of mescaline. It's no, different.
Way different. Yeah. But I did have a professor, and I think he probably got this from someone else, but he sort of did it to his own life. He used to tell us, like, okay, you know, when you're coming up and you're a practicing student, practice two keys a day, right? So everything that you do in those two keys each day, and you do 6 days a week, and then you take Sunday off. And for him, he would go watch football. That was his Sunday. So he wouldn't do shit. Mm-hmm. If like music would just pretty much not exist in his life on Sunday. But since he'd do two keys a day for 6 days, guess what? That's all 12 keys. If you live in India, then you're screwed because you got like 36 different tonal centers. So good luck with that. You need more days. But in the Western world, like, yeah, 2 times 6 is 12. So like give yourself little things like that if you have to organize it. But like take a day off, you know?
Yeah, and that's also the same with being creative, right? And having something to say musically. People always say, well, you know, you have to experience life in order to come up with something beautiful and musical. And yeah, so you need a day off for that. You also just need a day off to recharge. You know, it's nice to just veg out sometimes because, and it, if you're that busy, and it's good to be busy, it's also good to have a break. So now we're at the how to say no part of the podcast, which is always exciting because, you know, people have a lot of trouble doing it. It's different in different situations. You can't just, you know, say no the same way for every situation. Let's like break down some of these concepts.
Yeah, your grandmother can only die a certain amount of times.
That's rough. Yeah, you can't just do the same excuses over
and over. Stop throwing granny under the bus.
It's very Larry David.
That's pretty dark, yeah.
So saying no to a random person or referral or something like that, someone who got your name, is easy, right? Because then you don't really know the person.
Yeah.
It's, and you know, you can just say you're busy, you don't want to do it, right? That's easy. Now with friends, it's a little more difficult, but it's what I said before, which is you break it down and you say, look, you know, you're my friend, you know, I love playing with you, I love this, but I need to make my rent. I'm sorry, I'll be screwed if I don't.
Just tell the truth.
You know, yeah, just tell the truth. I got to survive. This is my job. Break it down. Again, this is what I said before. Now, the next thing is something I've done, and I know other musicians have done as well, and this is a good one. If you really, really don't want to do something, and they're not necessarily good friends of yours, quote a ridiculously high number for how much you'd want for the gig.
I don't like this. I would never do this.
Oh, I've done it.
This is for someone that is not like me.
Because if you don't want to do it, you have nothing to lose. So, for instance, if this gig just sounds so unbearable, you're like, I don't want to play for Naked Clowns. Like, I just don't want to do that.
Little Naked Clowns.
And they're like, and then you say, all right, it's 4 hours. You're like, okay, I have another gig that day that's paying me $700. So if you could give me $850 for that gig, I'll do it, you know? And then they'll say no 95% of the time. But if they say yeah, you'd be like, oh, okay, I'll play for
Naked Clowns,
for $850, you know? A four-hour gig, no rehearsals, right? Yeah. Okay, good.
Then you could take an extra day off that next week and go out drinking and be like, to the bartender, be like, bro, I played a 4-hour gig for a bunch of Naked Clowns the other day. And they'll give you a free shot. They'll be like, dude, sounds like you need a free shot. Yeah. Bam.
All right. So I don't recommend that one often. That is for very specific instances where you really don't want to do something and you might not even like the band leader. It's kind of like one of those things.
I would need like FBI field training to even say something like that to anybody.
Because you don't want to do that to someone you like at all. No. It's kind of like to a band leader that's kind of busting your balls and, you know, you don't want to do it and they just keep hounding you and you're like, I don't even like this person. I don't want to play for Naked Clowns. Like, I'm going for $1,000. Like, say, I'm really busy. I got another gig for $900. I'll do yours for $1,000. And they'll say no, but it's just kind of it's just kind of funny. And if they
but what
say
if they
yes,
ask you what that
grind.
Gig is, then you need to get your backstory
matter.
Straight.
Oh yeah, whatever. I've had friends where it's worked, you know. But
yeah.
Again, this is like a last resort.
honesty is usually the best thing. With
yeah, honestly is the best. Unless you can get $1,000 to play in front of naked clowns.
Yeah, that's as the asterisk, like
with no rehearsals. Disclaimer. Again, no rehearsals.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
and you don't have to be naked. You're fully clothed.
Yeah.
Anyway,
and if this is in Illinois, then don't. You don't want anything to do with clowns in that state.
What do you mean? I don't even understand
fucking
that.
William Gacy, whatever the hell.
Oh God, dude. Yeah, I forgot about
Holy
that.
Holy shit!
Jeez, you just took left turn there.
Yeah, I go a little dark sometimes.
All right, man, you've been watching too many of those Netflix docs. Dude,
that's it. It was like 2 days ago I was watching that one.
Gacy, yeah.
Is that his name? Was it William Gacy?
It's actually yeah. John Wayne Gacy, I believe. Well, anyway, let's not go down this road.
Yeah, just don't.
So,
no naked clowns.
Yeah, no naked clowns. So anyway, I hope this episode was helpful.
Really? That's what we're just going to end it?
Yeah. What? That's it. That's all I got. That's my wrap up.
Oh, all man.
Right. All right. So
I like that.
I hope some of this information was helpful. Maybe not all of it, but some of it. And I think maybe all of it was helpful.
Yeah,
It's stuff that I've done personally. All my friends, all the professional musicians I know have done. Maybe not the Naked Clown one, but you know, it is what it is. And you know, it's important to say no. So if someone were to ask me right now and they'd say, "Well, can you do 10 more minutes?" I'd say, "No, we're done with this."
Yeah,
no,
it's done.
So
it's over.
Goodbye.
See ya.
Questions, comments, episode ideas, hate mail. You can get in touch with us by contact form, email, or voicemail, all of which are available on our website, theperformerspathway.com. If one of your questions or topics makes it into the podcast with your consent, of course, you'll receive a shiny new $10 gift card for use at mymusicmasterclass.com. That's our sister website, which contains over 600 original educational videos from your musical heroes. Also, I was wondering if any of you actually listen to this outro, or do you just go by it and you just go to the next episode? I'm curious about that, Jake. What do you think?
I do both. Like, usually I would cut it out by now and just go to the next episode because I hate outros, but who knows?
Well, if you do listen to this, email us because I want to know.
This is like the Beatles. Like, we're doing like
it's a secret track.
Yeah, or like Marvel at the end of the credits. We're basically that cool now. We're the Marvel Beatles.
Yeah, we're just taking it out this time. See, we both dropped acid before this episode. Yeah,
we're going to play this backwards and you got to decipher it.
No, there was no acid taking. All right, this is just...
just water.
Sleep deprivation and quarantine.
So we just fade
anyway.
Out. Let's just fade out. We're just going to fade out. Go do whatever you're going to do. We're fading out.
Bye.